Embassy Security, the Secret Service, and the Postal Service are on the fix-it list for the new chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. That's Jason Chaffetz. His first move is reorganizing the subcommittees, and here to discuss the road ahead for oversight and government reform in the 114th Congress, Eric Wasson. He's the Capitol Hill reporter for Bloomberg Government. Eric, great to have you back.
Thanks so much, Tom. Happy New Year to you.
And to you. So before we get to Chaffetz, just give us a sense of the scene in Congress later today. What will it be like when they actually get there? I guess it's going to be around noon.
Yes, it's going to be around noon. It looks like there's going to be a little bit of drama around the reelection of John Boehner to be Speaker. It looks like about 10 members are going to vote against him, but that's not enough to unseat the Speaker. There would have to be about 28 or 29 defections in order for him to be unseated. So there'll be a little bit of drama surrounding that, but most of the day will be ceremonial. The Senate will also be coming in at noon with Vice President Biden swearing in the senators-elect. So it's a lot of pomp and circumstance, but very quickly they're going to get down to business. We're going to see the Keystone Pipeline being approved and a bill in the House to redefine full-time workers under Obamacare. And very soon, as soon as next week, we're going to see the Homeland Security appropriations bill, which was not passed last year, come up in the House.
All right. So just a quick question on the House. Are they sworn in separately or do they have a mass swearing in by somebody?
Yes, they have a mass swearing in by the new speaker. So they'll elect a speaker. The dean of the House, which is no longer John Dingell, will swear in Boehner, and then Boehner will swear in everybody en masse. The senators will be sworn in groups of four. The new senators elect. The senators who are continuing won't have a ceremony.
Now, I get up to the Capitol occasionally, and I find it one of the most, I guess maybe next to the Ronald Reagan building, one of the most complicated buildings to navigate in Washington. Do the new members get a chance to do some exploring so they can at least find how to get from point A to point B if they need to?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of lost members. Even still, they were here at freshman orientation in November shortly after the election, where they did have some of that basic training. But yeah, it's always fun to see in the first couple of months, them searching for the restroom and things like that. So, that'll be fun to see. You know, it is 50 new members in the House, so it's a pretty big class.
And just because you have a basement office doesn't mean that you're going to be in the storage rooms. They have real offices in what most other buildings call the basement.
Right. Yep, they have real offices. And a lot of the freshmen are actually up in the Cannon Attic, which is a very cramped area. But that building is undergoing renovation, so that complicates everything, and they'll be moving in and out of that building throughout the course of the year.
And what time does the press start moving in? I mean, they must, that's probably going to be pretty crowded too, that gallery.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we never really leave, so a lot of us work through the recess up there as well. So, it's always packed. On a day like today, you'll see a lot of people who don't normally cover Congress parachuting in as well. So it'll be a pretty fun scene, I think.
And I guess to some degree, even though everyone says Congress is broken and there's books coming out about how broken it is and everybody talks about the low level of acceptance by the public of Congress, on a day like today, maybe if only for a few hours, maybe there's a little bit of majesty there and some awe at this great institution fallen as far as it may have, though. Correct?
Yeah. You'll see moments of it. I think there'll be a moment, you know, when Pelosi hands the gavel to Boehner, where they show, you know, likely he'll cry again, I imagine.
Not her.
Not her. But you'll see a little moment of comedy, and these people do actually like each other personally. But you know, right away, the House is going to adopt a rules package for itself. The details, of course, which were released, you know, around midnight last night. We were just analyzing that, my colleagues and I. But that rules package will allow them to, you know, do accounting on bills very differently. Something called dynamic scoring, which will actually favor tax cuts. It could justify large tax cuts for the wealthy in the eyes of the Democrats. And there'll be a fight over that today. There's going to be a vote on that rules package. The Democrats are going to offer their own, minimum wage related to legislation as an alternative. So right away, we're going to get into a partisan fight. One interesting thing we just noticed is that in the middle of the night, they added to this rules package mandatory ethics training for new members of Congress. There had been a proposal, amazingly, House lawmakers are the only ones up there who aren't given ethics training. Senators and all staff on both sides do get it, but House members have been exempt. Now new members within 60 days of taking office will have the ethics training. And it's kind of interesting that they added that. You know, yesterday Michael Grimm of New York resigned after pleading guilty to federal tax charges. So I think there was some heat, brought to bear on leadership to, finally get this ethics training set up for new lawmakers. And it was interesting that they added that around midnight last night.
And just briefly on that dynamic scoring, that is the belief that because something changes in one area, behavior changes so that there's more than one variable to be measured when you change something in the tax code?
It's actually a little bit more complicated than that, Tom. So already the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, takes into account behavioral changes. So the idea that, if you raise taxes on income, some people will choose not to work. They'll just feel like there's less of an incentive for them to do that. They already take that kind of dynamics, what's called microdynamics, into account. But this would actually look at whether a change will actually affect the overall employment, interest rates, inflation in the economy, and if that will then reverberate back to have a larger macrodynamic effect. And a lot of critics say that those effects are so hard to get right that it's probably not worth it to try to factor that into an official score of a bill. And in any case, it'll give a lot of work to CBO. So what they've come out with is an idea that if it's going to be a certain level of effect, and for this year it would be about $44 billion in effect, 0.25% of the gross domestic product, then that would be required. So we're not going to do this on every little, bill that comes along, but stuff that has big effects, like perhaps a tax reform package that would try to come through the House this year, that would be scored in this way. And I think it would allow Republicans to cut marginal income tax rates for individuals and the corporate tax rate the level that they want. They want to bring the corporate tax rate down to 25%, the top rate down to 25%, and still be able to show that they're not creating a big deficit. And I think there's going to be a lot of controversy. Also, this month or so, we should see who's going to be the new Congressional Budget Office director. Doug Elmendorf's term expired on Saturday. He's sticking around, but everyone in town believes that he's not going to be reappointed. Perhaps they fail to find a suitable alternative, and he is. But at this point, they are doing interviews, and we'll see. But there's a lot of nervousness that whoever they pick could be someone who's viewed as very partisan, and that would erode the CBO's credibility. So that, with a dynamic scoring, could make for some very touchy fights over any sort of tax legislation coming up in this Congress.
All right, so a pretty short honeymoon there. We're speaking with Eric Wasson. He's the Capitol Hill reporter for Bloomberg Government. All right, Eric, let's get to Jason Chaffetz and House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, which a lot of federal agencies look at nervously. What can we expect from Chaffetz?
Well, he's very interesting. He's a very different individual than Daryl Issa, who's the outgoing chairman of that committee. Chaffetz is very, very friendly and amiable, less combative than Issa, and has been pledging to change tone. And it was actually a bit critical of the way Issa fought with Elijah Cummings, the ranking member on that committee. They're going to continue to do investigations, such as into the IRS's alleged targeting of conservative groups. So that committee will get a lot of headlines for its investigations, as it always has. And he said he was going to focus on the embassy security. That's something that he said that under Hillary Clinton really declined. This is a continuing to be the linking of the Benghazi incident with Hillary Clinton, that attempt in the House. But, Chaffetz also said he will do substantive legislation. Now, at the top of the list is the Postal Service. It lost $5.5 billion last year. A lot of that, the Postal Service will say, is due to an accounting issue because they have to pre-fund their future retirees' health benefits, which most organizations don't have to do. But nonetheless, it really has suffered from the rise of email and the inability to really capitalize fully on the rise in package delivery. So there's going to be some kind of postal reform bill. Now, Chaffetz told us in a meeting in December that it might not be that different from what ISA had envisioned, which was a lot of cutbacks in door-to-door delivery, and the end of Saturday mail. But we'll have to see, because that bill didn't even get a vote in the committee, let alone on the floor. Chaffetz is also really focused on Freedom of Information Act. He said the House and Senate had some versions of easing the ability of the public to find out what the agencies are up to, the ability of Congress to get more information, but that failed to come to an agreement. So I think there's probably the recipe for coming to some sort of compromise pretty quickly. And then a special interest to your listeners is that Chaffetz is very upset with the inability to terminate what he views as, you know, slacking off employees in the federal government. He repeatedly, every time we see him, talks about an EPA worker who allegedly watches pornography all day and they can't be fired. So he's really looking to find a way to ease that process. He also wants to you know, increase, you know, the premiums that are charged under the FERS system, believing that, you know, the pensions that federal workers receive are overly generous compared to the private sector. So we'll see him work on that. He says he wants to work with unions, but you know, I'm not clear when he'll introduce a bill, but it looks like sometime during his term in office, and with the gavel, he's going to try to pursue that.
And briefly, he has also reorganized the subcommittee somewhat. So there's now an IT subcommittee, information technology, and that's chaired by someone who hasn't even been seated yet.
Right.
Will
right.
Hurd of Texas.
Yeah, it's interesting. It'll be interesting. He said he's going to focus more on IT and energy. He put Cynthia Lummis in charge of an energy and policy subcommittee. So I think IT is definitely of great interest to him. I'm not exactly, he didn't really outline to us exactly what that subcommittee will do, but it is interesting that he's putting an increased focus on that.
All right, well, get some coffee and stay up. And I know it's early for you, but you've got a few more hours till they crash in and Congress lights up. Eric Wasson is the Capitol Hill reporter for Bloomberg Government. As always, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much.